For centuries, Swiss banks have thrived on absolute secrecy, accepting deposits with few questions asked from wealthy individuals around the world. These deposits and the pristine reputation of the Swiss legal system have helped establish the Swiss franc as a safe haven currency and held the franc stable during Europe's debt crisis. But is that about to change as cash-strapped governments seek to reclaim vast sums of lost and unpaid taxes? Under legal and political pressure from both the US and the EU, the world's largest offshore wealth centre is lifting the cloak of secrecy. So, is it the beginning of the end for tax havens for the extremely wealthy? Dr. Hans Geiger is Professor Emeritus of Banking at the University of Zurich. Before his academic career, he worked with Credit Suisse for 26 years on the executive board. Dr. Hans Geiger, thanks very much for joining us on RN Summer Breakfast.
Pleasure.
I think we should start with just a discussion about how significant Swiss offshore wealth is. Do we have a handle on the extent of that wealth?
Swiss banking is an export industry like chocolate or watches, and it's primarily through private wealth management. In the international private banking, Switzerland has a market share, a global market share between 25 and 30%. So it's the leading place for private banking.
I saw a figure of, or an estimated figure of something like 2.2 trillion US in assets. Is that a fair figure?
Never quite sure about the zeros, how many zeros are before the comma and after, but trillions, yes, maybe that is the figure.
Clearly, the industry is under a lot of pressure to lift the lid of secrecy. What's driving the changes that are being forced on the industry?
Banking secrecy has been used as a vehicle for avoiding or evading taxes, primarily by foreign people. I think the real pressure is on the taxation side, but it's difficult to separate the two.
Where is that pressure coming from primarily?
I think it started around the outbreak of the financial crisis, and it's coming from all over. I think it started with the U.S. In 2008, UBS, which is the biggest private bank of the world, they got into troubles with the U.S. because they were found guilty of helping U.S. persons actively to reach tax laws. So that was the starting point. At the same time, we have always been in discussions with the European Union because we are not part of it, but we have bilateral agreements on many things, and one is on taxation or on banking secrecy. Then the third one, which is the global institution that recommends standards, is the OECD in Paris, which sets up soft law rules for all countries.
So given those kind of pressures then, what kind of changes have been forced on the industry and what is still to come?
Maybe we start with the US. The American persons have never been major group of clients for Swiss banking. Their type of private banking is different from what we do in Switzerland. But strangely, this is right now and has been for a few years. The major issue is America. So right now in this season, we have discussions what more than 300 Swiss banks should disclose or whether they should be fined and whether they should accept American clients or whether they shouldn't accept them anymore. So this is strangely because that is not the major group. The major group in private banking in Switzerland are the neighboring countries. So it's Europe or Latin America and Near East. So this is by far the biggest one.
So you're under pressure from the US, and
yes,
at this point the industry is being threatened with legal action effectively if it isn't forthcoming with information about US citizens who are evading tax?
Yes, that's one. And the other is that the banks should pay penalties to the US up to, 50% of the wealth they managed for American clients.
And what about the European side of things?
With Europe, we had an agreement between the European Union and Switzerland, which was made in 2004. The European Union, they have internally an automatic information exchange between tax authorities. Switzerland was not willing to participate in that. Europe now intends also to include Switzerland into this automatic information exchange. This is probably more important than the US issue longer term.
You're listening to RN Summer Breakfast. We're lifting the lid on the age-old secrecy of the Swiss banking system with Dr. Hans Geiger, a former Credit Suisse banking executive. Dr. Geiger, ultimately, what will be the impact of these kind of US and European pressures then on the Swiss banking industry?
There are several good reasons for private individuals, especially for wealthy ones, to have their banking or have part of their wealth in Switzerland. So we have healthy banks, we have good regulation, very strong currency, low inflation, stable political environment. But if the tax evasion was a major argument, and in some cases that may have been the case, so Switzerland will lose some of its advantage, although it's difficult to say where the client should go. Some say they should go to Singapore, but a European cannot go to Singapore with his private wealth. That just doesn't make sense geographically or for other reasons.
There are many tax havens, though. Why has Switzerland been singled out?
I don't think we are singled out, but we are by far the largest. So the next in the list, they may be three times smaller, and they have other instruments. So those British territories or close to Great Britain, they rely more on trust structures rather than on banking secrecy, with a similar result. But also trust structures have come under pressure. So I'm not sure that Switzerland is singled out. I don't think so.
So if traditional tax havens are no longer an attractive option, where will these private investors go for those who want to avoid tax or minimize their tax?
That's a very good question. My recommendation is strange because I hate it, but the best is to go to the United States, to Florida, because there you are safe. They protect their own banking industry or asset management industry very strongly, and they are still the leading country or the power in the world. Probably it's the best protection to go to the U.S.
So are you suggesting that the U.S. should be looking at itself?
Of course they should, but they won't do that. I mean, they are the world power, and if you have a country with 8 million inhabitants, you don't have to make recommendations to the world powers.
Does it suggest then that the days of tax havens are numbered?
Yes, at least to the extent they existed in the past. But the focus in the future will not be on taxation, but on confiscation, on capital flight. At the source of the dispute we have is the indebtedness and the budget problems of many economies. And sooner or later, the countries will go for the wealthy inhabitants or citizens to contribute to the debt. And they will do that through inflation or confiscation or wealth tax or whatever. So it's not only tax, it's preservation of the assets.
How do you see that playing out if you're saying that the move then goes from the issue of tax evasion to reclaiming what a state believes an individual owes it?
We have seen it in Cyprus. The EU and the IMF, they wanted to deduct 10 or 20% of the wealth of the clients. They tried to do that in Greece. They have done it in Argentina a few years ago with the pension funds. So I think that is going to happen. That's a major threat. I think taxation is right now a big issue, but it's not the issue of the future. And I don't know how they behave. The best is, of course, to move personally, because the only sure way to preserve the wealth will be to move to the domicile to a safe place. Probably people should think about moving to Canada or Australia, seriously.
It sounds like uncomfortable days ahead for the extremely wealthy.
Yes, I agree, yes. Maybe it's not good to be extremely wealthy.
But it'd be nice to try it for a little while.
Yes, yes, one should enjoy it.
Dr. Hans Geiger, thank you very much for your time.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
That was Dr. Hans Geiger, who I spoke to a little earlier. He's a former Credit Suisse executive and Professor Emeritus of Banking at the University of Zurich.